www.thebetterhealthy.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Royson, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. We have a wonderful guest who's written a really remarkable book, The Giving Way to Happiness, by Jenny Santi, J-E-N-N-Y-S-A-N-T-I, The Giving Way to Happiness. And she has what, or had, I don't know if she still has, I think she is no longer doing it, what might be called the ideal job after getting her MBA. We'll come back to that in a second. But I do want to tell you, we are not live. I've pre-recorded the entire show just because I'm going to a philanthropy session this weekend on looking at entrepreneurs who are giving to philanthropies. And so I'm not going to be available this weekend, so we pre-recorded it a little bit, not many days in advance. That's why you hear the latest medical news still. So don't email me, don't call in, but because we use social media beforehand, you've asked a series of questions that I'm going to convey to Jenny Santi. By the way, the website is jennysanti.com. Jenny, thanks for being on the show.
Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, I'm going to set the stage, if you will, before we get to the questions. But I'm going to just set the stage of the questions. One is philanthropists versus ordinary people. Why aren't doctors bigger donors? The mafia and evil, if you will, givers, that is people who've done evil in life, and do they get the same benefits of happiness when they give? And then ordinary people and families, how do families get together and give if they're ordinary people versus philanthropists? And then the other really great question is, of course, how does this give happiness, and how did you find out about giving happiness? So let's set the stage. You're an MBA at Wharton. First of all, what did you do before you went to Wharton to get your MBA, and then what happened to get you into the world of philanthropy?
Oh, okay. I actually have a background in management consulting, and my work in philanthropy advisory is essentially still a consulting job, and I see myself as a management consultant where all my client engagements are philanthropy related. So they have to do with setting up a foundation or improving the operations of an existing foundation. So it's essentially that. And as a philanthropy advisor, I see my role as helping my clients channel their wealth, their power, and their influence towards social good.
So how did you get, after you graduated college, you went to Wharton at the University of Pennsylvania to get your MBA. What then happened to get you into management consulting for philanthropy?
All right. Well, let me just clarify the sequence of events. So actually, I graduated college, and then I worked as a management consultant. Actually, I worked as a teacher first. I worked as a teacher for a year, and then I moved to London to be in management consulting, and I did that for a couple of years. And after that, I pursued my MBA, which was actually at INSEAD, which has campuses in Fontainebleau in France, as well as Singapore. And during that time, I was also an exchange student at Wharton Business School. And it was during the time when I was doing my MBA that the idealist in me decided that I wanted to have a job that allowed me to make a difference, and that I was going to explore what that job might be. And it was a chance encounter with a person who was already at that time a philanthropy advisor. I met him in an event in my school one day. And I got fascinated with this job description, and about a year later, I was offered the opportunity to work in his team, and it happened to me very quickly after that. I found myself running the philanthropy services department of a private bank, a Swiss bank, at the age of 28.
So you're young and you're now a consultant for philanthropy, and the lessons you learned look like they're in here, meaning you all of a sudden found out in this kind of weird job where you're helping people give away money. Many of us would love that job, if you will, but you said it's actually pretty hard work in the book.
Well, yes, I've been doing this for about 7, 8 years now. And, you know, as a philanthropy advisor, I play multiple hats. I wish I could say that my job is to help people give away their money, but it's not quite like that. They usually already know where it should be going, and they usually call me in when something's gone wrong. And so I play multiple hats as a strategy consultant, a family advisor, a facilitator of family meetings where things get contentious sometimes, a career counselor to these people, a connector, and also an event planner all rolled into one. And, you know, my approach is that my clients' endeavors in philanthropy should not only be making an impact on the world, I mean, that's a given, right? You have to be improving the state of the world somehow. But also, it's very important that the philanthropy that someone is doing is also personally rewarding and fulfilling for them, and it's also changing their own lives. So I essentially don't believe in giving until it hurts, rather in giving until it feels great. And that's the message of this book I've just written, which is called The Giving Way to Happiness.
So in The Giving Way to Happiness, you have a number of stories, as well as the science. And so we should say that you wheeled in and meld in and start with the science of why giving makes people happy. Were you surprised to find how much happiness people got by giving? In other words, did these stories or did the episodes surprise you, or did you anticipate this?
I think I anticipated it partly because it was actually one of the key motivations why I even started to write this book. I was struck. I had a flashing light bulb moment one day when I was at a conference, a philanthropy conference that was happening in Beijing that I had helped organize. And then I was looking around the room and I suddenly felt that there was something that everyone in that room had in common, and everyone in that room was involved in the social sector somehow, whether as a major donor or as a nonprofit professional or as a social entrepreneur or as a volunteer. And these were people from different walks of life, some very wealthy, some just average. Some were very little, but I was struck with what these people had in common, and then there was a very palpable sense of joy in the room, and I decided to write about that. You know, I decided to write about what giving does to change the life of the giver. So it's not just happening.
When we come back, I'm going to put those questions to you that I was put to by the people who emailed me, that is philanthropists versus ordinary donors, mafia and evil doers, and does giving feel like they absolve themselves and that's why they feel happy, why doctors don't give more, and then how do we get this to ordinary people? That is there something special about philanthropists, or do ordinary people feel happiness? We'll be right back with Jenny Santi, S-A-N-T-I, on The Giving Way to Happiness.
Don't don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. We're talking with Jenny Santi, S-A-N-T-I, JennySanti.com. The book she authored, The Giving Way to Happiness, talks about why people who give are happy and what makes them happy. And we had a number of questions, in fact, relating to the book in advance. We're doing this as a pre-tape, if you will, for the show. So rather than being on Saturday Live, we're in advance, so don't email me or call in to ask questions today. We'll resume that next week. But this week is pre-taped, and so I've got Jenny, and you've sent some questions in. One, Jenny, talk to me about philanthropists versus ordinary people. Do ordinary people, is the science such that it isn't just the wealthy who get happiness from giving, but it's all of us ordinary people, and in fact, whether it's giving time or other things, you also get happiness?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and actually in this book, I say that I don't really like the word philanthropy. I try to avoid using that word philanthropy, and I'd rather use the word giving or giver. And that's because in this day and age, I think we think that philanthropy is big-ticket giving, that the moment we hear that word, we think of Warren Buffett giving billions of dollars away, Bill Gates giving half of his wealth away, and it's just not achievable for most of us. And so I just prefer to use the word giver because we can all give, whether it's our time, our talents, or our treasures to something we care about.
So one of the things I've seen in some families who are relatively ordinary is that they give their children X amount of money for their birthday, say $25, with the understanding that the child can spend half of it on themselves and half of it they have to name a charity and give it to the charity, but they have the money to do that with. And I wondered if you'd seen, does that bring the kids' happiness or the parents' happiness, or does it bring the family together? What's the process? Because it seems to me that's an awful good way of doing it.
I absolutely agree. In fact, I've come across families who do it in a three-part model. They give their children money with the understanding that it's to be spent in three parts. Part of it is to save. Part of it is to spend on whatever they want. And the last third is to give away. And they also had to explain very clearly why they've given it to the specific cause that they've chosen. And in this book, I actually talk about how giving together as a family, together with your loved ones, brings you closer together to one another. And not only that, giving together as a family also helps parents raise generous children, philanthropic children, children who are kind and giving. And when you walk the walk as a parent, the talk might not be necessary. And, you know, I just want to say one thing about teaching kids how to be good people. It shouldn't entail dragging them to, let's say, a volunteer drive or insisting that, all right, kids, this is the day that we're going to volunteer at a nonprofit. Because kids will just begin to see that as a drudgery. So the best thing to do is to actually get them involved in the process. Ask them, what do they care most about? Ask them about their interests. And if possible, make them make that decision. Like, for example, if your child is really an animal lover, then why not spend the day in an animal shelter? If your child loves baking or cooking, well, why not spend that time baking cookies or preparing a meal for a homeless shelter? And if you've got an environmentalist child, then why not spend the time planting trees?
Well, that sounds, it actually sounds like a great, great thing. Let me go and, meaning getting the children to do what they want to do, and I should say that in your book you go through this example, so we're giving something from the book, The Giving Way to Happiness. It's Jenny Santi. It's obviously on Amazon, but also Jenny Santi, SANTI.com, has references. Jenny, why? Let me go to a couple of those questions that people asked. Is it because doctors and maybe nurses are caregivers all the time that they look at their giving as some of that and their happiness as what they do every day, and they aren't as big givers, or what is the reason? So I was asked this by a physician who is a generous person, but he says, my hospital, when you look at what we give in United Way versus what others give, we're lower than other employees or employers. And he said, why is that?
Well, yes. Well, you know, in this book, I talk about giving, helping people in five different ways, one of which is finding their purpose and finding a career that is not just a job, but really a calling. And also how giving helps people recover from very painful experiences, how giving helps people become closer to their families and loved ones, and how giving helps people find significance and meaning in their lives beyond material success. And so it's all good things that you get from giving. But on the flip side, the opposite can be just as true. And when you ask about doctors, this is precisely what I like to talk about. That, you know, on one hand, giving can make you feel good. But on the other hand, giving, especially giving your life to a cause or having a job that exposes you to the traumatic suffering of others on a daily basis, can make you feel really burnt out. So people such as doctors, nurses, counselors, social workers, animal shelter workers are all high risk for feeling compassion fatigue instead of compassion satisfaction. But there are ways to move from this feeling of compassion fatigue towards compassion satisfaction that make the work worth it.
Jenny, we're talking to Jenny Santi, S-A-N-T-I, the author of The Giving Way to Happiness. You'll find the science of happiness is an important one, and she shows how giving does, in fact, engender happiness. When we come back, we'll talk more about the concept of what does give happiness. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.